Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Whiplash Talks. This is Sunshine coming at you on a beautiful Saturday fall day. My favorite season of the year. Oh, I'm so enjoying the cooler weather and the leaves changing and the animals being a little more frisky and storing things up for the winter. Thank you for joining me on Saturday, your Saturday. I hope that you're having a wonderful week, and I've got a lot to cover today, so I think I'm just going to get right into it. I have an update on me with where I'm at since we started this channel. Yesterday was my mother's birthday, so it was a rough day, but pushed through it and handled it a lot better than I did a year ago, let me put it that way. So celebrated her and remembered her, and I'm really looking forward to getting closer to her spiritual to spiritual level and working on me so I can do that. I have a lot of conflict in the current career that I am in and the profession that I'm in. And Lucia Nicola Evans has this beautiful poem that she shared with us. And I've shared with you guys previously that I did Living Empowered with her. And this last Sunday, a week ago Sunday, was our last session together. And it was really good, and I encourage anybody, if that is something that you're looking at doing and growing yourself on the spiritual side of things or on the energy side of things, check out Lucia, because she's really a bright light in this world right now. But she had a poem that was really good, and it was really timely for me, and I thought, I can't be the only one that is being impacted by human conflict. And so I'm just going to get right into it. I'm going to read a poem that she wrote. She is wonderful, wonderful at writing poems and sharing her soul. So it's called An Insight into Human Conflict. An innocent misunderstanding is often the case, where perspectives get muddled, where there is no real listening, where the little ones inside feel unsafe and threatened, where there is no real understanding for one's own experience. What if you just paused, just for a moment, got present and listened, letting go of the need to be right, heard, or understood, and opened yourself to the other person and listened from your heart, beyond any judgment, right or wrong making, where the other person had space to share their fears, concerns, and experience with you, and you could say, thank you. Thank you for sharing what you're experiencing. I really appreciate your authenticity and transparency. I love hearing how things occur for you. It makes me feel closer to you. How often do you block someone from sharing because you have a better idea or solution that they must hear in that very moment? Or how often do you feel too uncomfortable to receive real intimacy? True connection doesn't come from being right. True connection comes from being in the listening, letting go of your agenda, and allowing space for others to share their experience as it's occurring to them without your projections of what you think. I invite you, next time you are interacting with a friend, stranger, family member, child, or partner, to pause and listen from your heart and thank them for sharing. You could even share how their experience impacted you and what you heard them say to anchor their share even more. Practice being with what is occurring in the moment. Become curious, open to others from your heart, and listen to what wants to emerge. From the space of being with the moment, inviting what is in the background to be known and expressed. See then if there is still a conflict, and with this listening from your heart, how it impacted the conflict itself. Notice what happened and how it feels now without even going into solutions or problem solving. Just notice. From being in the listening, how this way of being impacts your interactions with others. My vision is that we all get along as human beings, giving each other space to share our own experiences while listening from our compassionate hearts and be the light that we already are. By Lucia Nicola Evans. So I just encourage you guys today to think about next time conflict arises. Maybe just pause for a moment and listen. Just be present. I learned from a lady that did a conference many, many years ago. This statement, it was seek to understand the why behind the behavior. Why is there conflict? Why is there anger? Why are there tears? Seek to understand the why behind the behavior. And as you do that, that helps you understand and gain perspective on where they're coming from. And it might be a completely different perspective that you would have never thought of. So I just encourage you, as the title of the poem is called, An Insight into Human Conflict. Just use these words and put them in your toolbox. And next time you enter into conflict or you're in a situation to where conflict arises, maybe just take a breath, pause just for a moment and get present and listen. And then let go of the need to be right, heard, or understood. A lot of times people get into conflict and they're already like loading the next bullet in the gun, so to speak, on how they're going to fire back and interject. And they're not even listening. But sometimes the words that are being spoken are not what is being communicated through the emotions or through the body language. So I encourage you, as we are moving through the ascension process and growing stronger in who we are as source, just seek to understand the why behind the behavior and maybe help that soul get up to the next level just by your kindness and your gentleness and your genuineness. So that is what I had on that today. I have several words that came to me this week, and when I got them, I thought, oh, I'm going to share those with the Whiplash Talks folks, because you peeps are going through the same stuff, and I thought this just might be something that would really speak to you too. So I have several words. If you want to write them down, you can. With the way the world is going right now, even if you're not watching mainstream media, even if you're getting just brief snippets of alternative sources of media, of the news of what's going on in your nation, country, or if you're looking at, you know, world news from anywhere around the world, it's chaos right now. It's like, I wouldn't even say it's controlled chaos. I would just say it's swirling chaos. However, I sense that we are winning, and I sense there's a change, and I sense breakthrough is coming. But it doesn't mean that the now and physical is not uncomfortable. And the now and physical is not something that we want to walk through to get to the other side. But we also know that to get to the other side, we have to keep moving. So here are a few words that came to me whenever I was just seeking some direction from the universe. The first one was healing, and it just was focusing on, you know, rest and recharge. Moderation and mindfulness are key as you recover from trauma or a period of intense exertion. So it doesn't have to be a physical trauma. It can be a mental, it can be challenges at work, challenges at home, challenges with children or with family members, loved ones, friends. So healing is the first word I got. And just rest and recharge and take care of yourself. What are you doing for self-care? You know, if a round of golf is what helps you just completely clear your mind, are you penciling that in on your calendar? Are you penciling that in as if you were penciling, like, you know, an afternoon, you know, a nice lunch and then taking the afternoon off? Maybe it's going for a pedicure. Whatever it is that helps you, a little bit of self-care, a little bit of pampering, a little bit of making sure that you're still plugged into you, I would encourage you to do that. The next word is anticipation. And it's really kind of like, this was talking to me, but it's basically talking about the event or outcome you've anticipated is about to occur. Well, I also look at this as what we've been waiting on for years and years to occur, for the freedom to happen, for, you know, the prison planet to go away and we are truly free. And if you are a Q listener, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, we've got the Q homesteading, and we've got the project review with Q, and we've got a lot of other irons in the fire in that situation, whether it be foreign currency or gold or silver or whatever you've invested in, and, you know, getting ready for maybe a couple of tough times where you've got a little extra water, maybe a little extra food at the house, that kind of thing. So anticipation, and the event or outcome you've anticipated is about to occur, take advantage of your foreknowledge in preparing for what's to come. So you're ready. You're ready. If you're listening to my show, then you know that's where I've been coming from day one. And if you also are listening to Q, who's before and after me, then you know that it's coming. And then I love this next word. It was determination. And you have the power to accomplish your wildest dreams. Just like a ram, you know, a ram is so strong, and like they charge up a mountain with steady determination and removing any obstacles with their strong horns. And so they are like, they're like, nothing's going to stop me. I am going to the top. And so you have the power to accomplish your wildest dreams. While others may tire or lose interest, you are persistent and will see your ambitions through. So do you have a project that you're working on for humanity? Do you have a place where you want to spend with your family that will be your homestead, that will be your place? Do you have a career that you are working towards that you truly want to just jump into the middle of, but you just haven't made it there yet? Stay determined. You have the power to accomplish your wildest dreams. So think about your dream, and if it's not wild enough, dream bigger. Dream bigger. Instead of saying goodnight to your children and saying sweet dreams, why not say dream big? Dream big. I'll see you in the morning. Okay, dream big. So I encourage you all to dream big. And then, speaking of dreams, I really believe that changes happened. There's been a shift. Things are happening. I do believe that we are still in a battle, and I do believe that there are casualties when battles happen. And so there may be curveballs, and there may be things that happen that just break our hearts. But I also believe that a dream of ours is about to come true. So stay still and stay alert, like the caiman, like the alligator. and at the right moment, seize your opportunity with relish. So the caiman lays there almost like he's in a meditative stance, and he just lays there motionless. And then when his prey comes by, comes in his path, and doesn't even realize that he's there or that he's fully awake, the caiman seizes the opportunity and grasps its prey. So whatever that dream is of yours, I don't know if it's career or family or life or philanthropy, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, stay still and alert. Be prepared. Don't expect to do nothing and have it drop in your lap, but be prepared and be ready to pounce. And then I just want to encourage everybody to know that you have great, great strength. So you are called together your strength ahead of a challenge. We have challenges ahead of us, but I encourage you to face it with confidence in your own stamina. And then tame any unruly elements that try to derail you. So if there's anything that gets in your way, kind of like one of the commands that I have that I've put together, I got from Q and I modified it a little bit, but it's basically, I now command my spirit to destroy anything or anyone stopping me from having all of me. And then I have another one that's a derivative of that one as well. That I now command my spirit to destroy anything or anyone trying to harm or hinder me or mine. And I say them three times each. And I believe in the spoken word. I believe I have power. I believe in source in me. I believe that I have that energy, that source. So tame any unruly elements that try to derail you. Also, if you think that you've got some challenges going on, always fall back on that command. I command my spirit to remove anything that is not authentic in me. I command my spirit to remove anything that is not authentic in me. I now command my spirit to remove anything that is not authentic in me. And then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, now. So I just want to really encourage you guys to just take this last one, this last word that we're doing for the day. And it's leadership. And it was talking about a bear being benevolent and embodying the qualities of a great leader. They're like the emperors of the woodland and guardians of the forest. And it was talking about the spirit of a bear is guiding you to leadership opportunities and reminding you to rule with fairness and care. Part of that fairness and care goes back to that poem we just read earlier. Part of communicating, really most of communicating, is listening. So if you think about it, communication has two components. It has the verbal communication, or maybe the telepathic communication, or however the communication is being delivered. But it also has the unspoken, the listening part. Someone has to be the listener. And there's always a push-pull, a give-take, a yin-yang, or whatever it is that floats your boat. There's always that component to where you're listening not to pounce and to formulate your next attacking words. You're truly listening to hear what the person is saying and to hear the emotion behind what they're saying, the seeking to understand the why behind the behavior. So as a good leader, like it talks about, the spirit of the bear is guiding you to leadership opportunities and reminding you to rule with fairness and care. Sometimes as a leader, you think it's really easy to be fair and caring, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes the people you're interacting with do not play by those same rules. But stick true, stay true to whom you are and to source in you and your heart for humanity. So those are just the things that I wanted to kind of start off with and lead with. And I've been doing a lot of reading today, and some things really jumped out at me and spoke to me. And we've been told about some books recently, Wisdom of the Feathered Serpent by Eve Featherstone. And one of the channels came out to me, and I thought it was really good, and I thought I would read it to you guys. And it's on page 240 if anybody has the book. And again, it's Wisdom of the Feathered Serpent by Eve Featherstone. And the channel was Andromedans 11-1-2011. It says, finite is a word which you may want to view as meaningless. It is in the realm of the rational mind, and this too is rather meaningless given the cosmic alignments right now in Earth, space, time. We are the collective consciousness of the Andromedans. Feeling, being, and knowing you as we do, our message is to lessen your grip on reality a little. Reality in itself, an infinite term, as we see it, for you have at your fingertips the gift of free will and the input of universal intelligence and source energy. Allow this universal intelligence and soft extra-dimensional waves of energy to permeate your rational mind, physical body, and your creativity will blossom instantly. You will feel a desire to create as you never felt before. This creativity doesn't have to be a fine arts piece which speaks to the whole world. It simply needs to be a creative process where your childlike interests are stirred. This is where your creativity was born and where it will be reborn. Crafts, playing in the sand, silliness, and an eternal summer are yours if you allow yourself these dalliances. These experiments in creativity will cause ruptures of consciousness or chi flow into unused parts of your brain. Transform your surroundings to those of more playful, nest-like, and nurturing functions. More spiritual areas and symbols wouldn't hurt either. Set up regular spirit ritual and deem this a necessary part of your life. With the dawning of the golden age, spirit ritual, living in spirit and sharing with others who are awakened, is necessary and appropriate. You must leave behind the unnatural ways of the industrial world, work ethic, judgmental, hoarding, cautionary, and worrisome. This is old technology. It simply doesn't work anymore. Our gift to you is to remind you of your infinite, creative, playful, underused abilities. This is the new technology. So learn again how to use what you were born with, as you are now reborn once again. With sacred intentions and warm wishes, Collective Consciousness of the Andromedans, via Eve Featherstone. So I encourage you, be playful, get silly, have an eternal summer that's all yours, and allow yourself the freedom to play in the sand, do what makes you happy, be childlike, And if that's creating something physically, arts, crafts, whatever, I encourage you to be that person. I encourage you to decrease in the industrial workplace focus that they were talking about and increase in the source energy playfulness that the Andromedans channeled through Eve and encouraging us to do so. I've been reading a couple of books here, and so it's been Osho, and I toyed back and forth earlier today. I toyed back and forth on whether to read some of one, because it could be a little controversial just because of, you know, we're in the, this is how things have been for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, but we're going to another area. So I will, I'll preface it with, I personally believe that we are on a prison planet. I think the planet we're on is a lot bigger than the bubble that we're under. I do believe that we are imprisoned and that we are slaves, and that we have been programmed and genetically modified to kind of be like the ant farm or the guinea pigs or the lab rats for other species. Personally, I'm going to stay on my playful side. I'm still going to be playful. I'm still going to be me. I'm still going to be sunshine. I'm still going to go out and play in the dirt. I'm still going to giggle and laugh when I see butterflies and hummingbirds. And I'm still going to laugh when the grasshopper tries to hide from me, when he, like, I look at him and he hides behind a pole, and I go to the other side of the pole and he runs around to the other side of the pole. I'm still going to laugh because that's what I'm choosing to do. But one of my favorite sayings is, you know, two boys for Christmas, they got this big pile of poo out in the back pasture. And one boy was so mad because he wanted a pony and all he got was poo. And he was so mad, and he was a spoiled brat, and he was crying and he was upset. And how could Santa not bring him a pony? And the other boy raced past him and flew off the back porch and jumped into the poo pile bigger than him, face first, and started digging with both hands, digging and digging and digging. And his parents are like, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "With all of this poo, I know there's a pony in here somewhere." And so I've always really tried to live my life that way. Has life gotten in the way and knocked me down? Absolutely. This last year and a half has probably been emotionally and heart pain the most that I've experienced my entire life. However, I know that there's a pony in this pile of poo that we're in right now, and I'm digging for it. And so I encourage you, when things get tough, try to find your pony in the poo. So with that said, this book, the first book that I want to read to you, I want to read an excerpt out of it. Something that I have struggled with that off and on throughout my life is fear. But it's not like I walk around fearful. It's, you know, I sing. So what will people think of me? You know, if I sing in a group, I'm fine because I'm harmonizing and I'm blending with a group. But if I'm out there singing by myself, then I feel naked and exposed. And what if I'm, you know, a little flat or a little sharp or whatever? And it's like, that's fear, and that's actual pride, and I don't like it. So I've worked, when I find a book by somebody I like that teaches on a subject that I have had struggles with, it gets my attention. And the cover actually has a lot of butterflies on it jumping out of a jar you know, like they're flying out of a jar. And this last year and a half, I felt kind of like the caterpillar, and I felt like that I'm the pupa, and that I am, I'm at that death zone, and it's like, I'm not sure about this. And it was so sweet. One of the ladies, let me see if I can find it real quick. I didn't plan on this. One of the ladies that was in the group that I was on with Lucia Nicola Evans, we got to pick names, like nicknames and stuff like that, if we wanted to, on our Zoom call. And I pretty much picked Caterpillar pretty much the whole time, because I kind of feel like I am behind the eight ball and learning who I am, why I'm here on this planet, what my purpose is. I'm still feeling pretty caterpillar-ish on that one. I'm not feeling like I'm really confident, if you know what I mean. And there, one of the young ladies sent me a cute cartoon, and it said, I want to see if I can find it. It was basically a caterpillar talking to a butterfly. And in that, it basically was, the caterpillar was really kind of scared, and it, you could tell that it was like, I don't know about this. And it said, here it is. It's super cute. It says, is it going to be okay? The caterpillar kind of looking at the butterfly like, oh my gosh. And I'm going to keep it PG since I don't know who's listening. And the butterfly says back to the caterpillar, it's going to be freaking incredible. So I feel like most of this past year and a half has been butterfly to kind of, now I'm in the pupa stage to where I'm turning into this gelatinous goo. And it's like, okay, I'm trusting you, butterfly. I'm trusting that it's going to be freaking fantastic. And, you know, just before the caterpillar, you know, thought the world was over, it became a butterfly. So the cover of the book got my attention too, and it's called Fear, Understanding and Accepting the Insecurities of Life. And there's just, it's on page 151 if you guys have the book, and it's just about maybe two pages that I want to read to you. It says, whatever frightens you, go into it. Whatever frightens you, go into it. Just put aside all safety measures, securities, just gamble. The whole of life belongs to the gambler, and the whole mind has become a businessman, calculating, thinking of profit and loss, never taking a risk, and risk is needed. Life comes to those who risk, who live dangerously, almost on the verge of death. That was the attraction in the past of being a soldier, a warrior. The attraction was not of war, but of danger. Just to move side by side with death. It gives you a crystallization, and there comes a time when no fear remains in you. Just imagine a point where no fear is in you. That is freedom. What Hindus call moksha, absolute freedom. Fear is the bondage. There is no other bondage than fear. Fear is the imprisonment. Nobody is imprisoning you. It is your own fear. And you go on hiding yourself behind the walls. You have become crippled, and you cannot come out in the open. Your eyes have become blind because you have lived so much in darkness. So whenever you come against light, it is too dazzling. Whenever you come near fear, you are near the door. Fear is symbolic. It says, now be aware. Don't enter here. Death is here. But death is the door to enlightenment, to all that is beautiful and true. Learn to die. That is the only way to achieve more and more abundant life. Life arises only in risk, in danger. When danger is there all around you, something in you crystallizes because that danger changes you. The danger creates a situation in which you have to become one. You cannot go on thinking, you become thoughtless. I'm going to take a break right here. Do you remember how Q encourages us to command, now I command my spirit to take the thoughts of my head and drop them into my heart? And how Q says, don't think. This is Osho, Q. This is what he's saying. You cannot go on thinking, you become thoughtless. Have you watched that when you suddenly come across a snake on the road, thinking stops? Immediately, there is no thought. The mind is vacant because the situation is so dangerous that you cannot afford to think. Thinking will take time, and the snake is there and may not wait for you. He may strike. So you have to do something without thinking. You have to move with no mind. You jump. Not that you decide to jump. You jump without any decision on the part of the mind. After you have taken the jump, the mind comes back and you start thinking about many things. You may forget that the jump happened out of meditation, that it was spontaneous. Whenever there is danger, thinking stops. Thinking is a luxury. When people become too secure, they think too much. Noise of no value, much ado about nothing. This inner talk becomes a barrier on every sense. It becomes like a dead weight. It does not allow you to see. It does not allow you to hear. It does not allow you to live. It does not allow you to love. Fear kills people before death comes. A man dies 1,001 times before death comes. Real death is beautiful, but the death that fear projects is the ugliest thing. So next time, make this the key. Whenever fear arises, that means you are somewhere near the block that has to be broken. Just there, somewhere near the door. Knock hard and enter there. Be a fool and enter. Don't try to be clever, be a fool, and much is possible. So I thought that was very good, very timely. And I cannot be the only one that has challenges with that, because there are way too many books out there on this subject. And I'm sure that we've all heard, you know, when fear comes a knocking, you know, open the door and step through, and you know, it's not near as scary on the other side. And I just, it's kind of funny. I have a vision board. I don't know if anybody does those anymore, but I do. I have a vision board, and just kind of encouraging me to, you know, be a strong leader. And I have a couple of things on it, and, you know, I am relentless. I am the difference maker. Everyone wants to be a beast until it's time to do what real beasts do. And it's a picture of a very fierce lion that has just come out of battle. And the next thing I want to read, I think I need to give the parents a heads up. It's out of Osho's book, Love, Freedom, and Aloneness. And it's talking about relationships. And it's a very good piece that I think could help a lot of people. But it does have some subject matter in it that if you've got young ones or even young teens, you might, you know, turn this off and listen to it later or send them to another room, because he does talk about sex. And I just want to, not in detail, but he does talk about sex, and I just want to be responsible and let people know that now would be the time to move the little ones to another room or listen to the recording at a later date. But this book, it kind of surprised me, because it was talking about love, freedom, and aloneness. And and I lost my place. It's called chapter 10, The Fundamental Slavery. And it went a completely different route than I thought he was going to go. So it kind of shocked me a little bit. And so I'll preface it with physical intimacy between partners. I'm going to be a little vague here. Is a beautiful thing, but there's something more deep and more intimate. And if that is something that you are seeking or are interested in or have experienced, could be, I would tend to say leaning towards more studying on the tantric side of things might help you engage in that next level of that relationship that you're in with the person that you care deeply about. So I'm going to preface it with that. Okay. Chapter 10, Osho, Love, Freedom, Aloneness. And this says the fundamental slavery. I think you guys have had enough time to move the kiddos or turn me off or listen to me later. It says, sex is the most powerful instinct in man. The politician and the priest have understood from the very beginning that sex is the most driving energy in man. It has to be curtailed. It has to be cut. If man is allowed total freedom in sex, then there will be no possibility to dominate him. To make a slave out of him will be impossible. I'm gonna hold that thought. That's just the first paragraph. I'm gonna hold that thought for just a second. This goes back to I believe, you know, I believe that I'm a farm animal. I believe that I'm on an ant farm. I believe this is, these are my beliefs. I believe that we are suppressed. Okay. So to make a slave out of him will be impossible. Have you not seen it being done? When you want a bull to be yoked to a cart, what do? You castrate him. You destroy his sex energy. Have you seen the difference between a bull and an ox? What a difference. An ox is a poor phenomenon, a slave. A bull is a beauty. A bull is a glorious phenomenon of great splendor. See a bull walking, how he walks like an emperor, and see an ox pulling a cart. The same has been done to man. The sex instinct has been curtailed, cut, crippled. Man does not exist as the bull now. He exists like an ox. Each man is pulling 1,001 carts. Look, and you will find behind you 1,001 carts, and you are yoked to them. Why can't you yoke a bull? A bull is too powerful. If he sees a cow passing by, he will throw both you and the cart, and he will move to the cow. He will not bother a bit about who you are, and he will not listen. It will be impossible to control the bull. Sex energy is life energy. It is uncontrollable. And the politician and the priest are not interested in you. They are interested in channeling your energy into other directions. I'm not going to go into that, but a lot of you probably understand that and off-world implications of that last sentence. I'm going to read it again. And the politician and the priest are not interested in you. They are interested in channeling your energy in other directions. So there is a certain mechanism behind it. It has to be understood. Sex repression, tabooing sex, is the very foundation of human slavery. Man cannot be free unless sex is free. Man cannot be really free unless his sex energy is allowed natural growth. These are the five tricks through which man has been turned into a slave, into an ugly phenomenon, a cripple. And I'm looking at the time. I think I'll read fast. We'll see. I may have to jump. I'm going to tell you guys, it is pages in this book. Page 109 through 120, because I may not make it through the whole thing. So I may just have to read some highlights. So the first of the five is keep man as weak as possible if you want to dominate him. If the priest wants to dominate you or the politician wants to dominate you, you have to be kept as weak as possible. And the best way to keep a man weak is to not give love total freedom. Love is nourishment. Now the psychologists have discovered that if a child is not given love, he shrivels up into himself and becomes weak. You can give him milk. You can give him medicine. You can give him everything else, but just don't give love. Don't hug him. Don't kiss him. Don't hold him close to the warmth of your body, and the child will start becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. There are more chances of his dying than surviving. What happens? Why? Just hugging, kissing, giving warmth, and somehow the child feels nourished, accepted, loved, needed. The child starts feeling worthy. The child starts feeling a certain meaning in his life. Now, from the very childhood, we starve them. We don't give love as much as is needed. Then we try to force the young men and young women to not fall in love unless they get married. By the age of 14, they become sexually mature, but their education may take more time, 10 years more, until they are 24, 25 years old. Then they will be getting their MAs or PhDs or MDs, so we try to force them not to love. Sexual energy comes to its climax near the age of 18. Never again will a man be so potent, and never again will a woman be able to have a greater orgasm than she will be able to near the age of 18. But we force them not to make love. Girls and boys are kept separate, and just between them stands the whole mechanism of police, magistrates, vice chancellors, principals, headmasters. They are all standing there just in between, just holding the boys back from moving to the girls, holding the girls back from moving to the boys. Why? Why is so much care taken? They are trying to kill the bull and create an ox. By the time you are 18, you're at the peak of your sexual energy, your love energy. By the time you get married at 25, 26, 27, and the age has been going up and up. The more cultured a country, the longer you wait, because more has to be learned. The job has to be found, this and that. By the time you get married, you are almost declining in your powers. Then you love, but the love never becomes really hot. It never becomes to the point where people evaporate. It just remains lukewarm. And when you have not been able to love totally, you cannot love your children because you don't know how. When you have not been able to know the peaks of it, how can you teach your children? How can you help your children to have the peaks of it? So down the ages, man has been denied love so that he should remain weak. Two, the second one. And I'm going to go again since people may just be tuning in. This is a book from Osho, Love, Freedom, and Aloneness. And he's talking on the fundamental of slavery. And the second one is keep man as ignorant and deluded as possible, so that he can easily be deceived. And if you want to create a sort of idiocy, which is a must for the priest and the politician and their conspiracy, then the best thing is not to allow man to move into love freely. Without love, a man's intelligence falls low. Have you not watched it? When you fall in love, suddenly all your capacities are at their peak, at their crescendo. Just a moment ago, you were looking dull, and then you meet your woman, and suddenly a great joy has erupted in your being. You are aflame. While people are in love, they perform at their maximum. When love disappears, or when love is not there, they perform at their minimum. The most intelligent people are the most sexual people. This has to be understood because love energy is basically intelligence. If you cannot love, you are somehow closed, cold. You cannot flow. While in love, one flows. While in love, one feels so confident that one can touch the stars. That's why a woman becomes a great inspiration. A man becomes a great inspiration. When a woman is loved, she becomes more beautiful immediately, instantly. Just a moment ago, she was just an ordinary woman, and now love has showered upon her. She is bathed in a totally new energy. A new aura arises around her. She walks more gracefully. A dance has come to her step. Her eyes have tremendous beauty now. Her face glows. She is luminous, and she happens. And the same happens to the man. When people are in love, they perform at the optimum. Don't allow love, and they will remain at the minimum. When they remain at the minimum, they are stupid, they are ignorant, and they don't bother to know. And when people are ignorant and stupid and deluded, they can be easily deceived. When people are sexually repressed, love-wise repressed, they start hankering for the other life. They think about heaven, paradise, but they don't think to create the paradise here, now. When you are in love, paradise is here, now. Then you don't bother. Then who goes to the priest? Then who bothers that there should be a paradise? You are already there. You are no longer interested. But when your love energy is repressed, you start thinking, quote, here is nothing. Now is empty. Then there must be somewhere some goal, quote. You go to the priest and ask about heaven, and he paints a beautiful picture of heaven. Sex has been repressed so that you can become interested in the other life. And when people are interested in the other life, naturally, they are not interested in this life. This life is the only life. The other life is hidden in this life. It is not against it. It is not away from it. It is in it. Go into it. This is it. Go into it, and you will find the other two. God is hidden in the world. God is hidden here now. If you love, you will be able to feel it. Due to time, I encourage you to go get this book, Osho, Love, Freedom, Aloneness. And then you can read the areas from 3, 4, and 5. That starts on page 112. I just want to close by telling you guys how much I love each and every one of you. I love all your notes that you send me. I enjoy knowing that you guys are on this walk with me. Your support through this past year and a half, where losing my mom and Bill passing away, it's been rough. But and I did think that love was lost. But I want to say that BBS staff has been incredible. I have felt the love from them as I have, you know, grown through being very, very broken to still hurting, but on the mend. And, you know, I'm finding my edge, and I'm fiercely fighting a battle to let go of the false me, which is the physical, who I am in the business world me, to allow the true me to live through me. And I encourage you guys to do the same. I am in my power, and life carries me. So I'm finding the balance between, you know, the work me and the true me. And I encourage you guys to do the same. Buy some books that will feed the true you, that will stir that passion in you, and that will remind you that you're here for a purpose. And that purpose is to be a part of humanity, make a change, make a difference, find out why you agreed to come here for this time, for this season, for this reason. And I just want to always encourage you guys, energy flows where your attention goes. And so in that, going back to talking about mainstream media and all that's going on with, you know, P. Diddy and all that's going to come out from that, and everything that's going on with the presidential election in the United States here, and everything that's going on between Russia and that whole scenario over there, and Israel and all of that, those are all distractions that will literally suck the life out of you if you get caught up in that. So I know I was raised in church. You know, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a lot of truth to that. And so as I sign off, I just want to encourage you guys, energy goes where your attention flows. So where are you focusing your energy these next 2 weeks? I love, 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 love you guys so much. And I encourage you to stay tuned for Q. He's coming up next. I love you guys so much. Thank you for being here with me, Whiplash Talks. Thank you, BBS. I love you guys, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Have a great 2 weeks, guys. Bye.